The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
It happened that there was a man full of leprosy in one of the towns where Jesus was. When he saw Jesus, he fell prostrate, pleaded with him, and said, "Lord, if you wish, you can make me clean." Jesus stretched out his hand, touched him, and said, "I do will it be made clean." At that, the leprosy left him immediately. Then he ordered him not to tell anyone, but to go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses prescribed. That will be proof for them. The report about Jesus spread all the more, and great crowds assembled to listen to him and to be cured of their ailments. But he would withdraw to deserted places to pray. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
In the Gospel, the most physically disgusting and repulsive human being imaginable came up to Jesus, knelt down, and begged Jesus to cure him. Lepers, as you know, have a bacterial infection that eats away at their flesh and gives them a sickening odor. At the time of Jesus, leprosy was considered so contagious that those with it were quarantined for life apart from the rest of the community. They had no one with whom to associate or to care for them except other lepers. They were cut off from their family, from their job, from their synagogue and temple, basically from love and mercy. They were outcasts, ostracized from all things human. They had to wear ripped clothes and keep their hair messy so that others would be able to spot them more easily. Whenever they needed to travel to obtain something, they were mandated by Mosaic law to shout out, "Unclean! Unclean!" They were forbidden to come within a certain distance of others. Anyone who touched a leper became, in Jewish mentality, ritually unclean. That the man in today's gospel broke all convention to come close to Jesus was already a sign of his desperation. What was Jesus' reaction to this miserable, nauseating creature on his knees before him? Most of those around Jesus likely ran away from him lest they catch the contagion. Jesus moved in the opposite direction. He stretched out his hand and touched the leper. We can almost hear the shrieks of the onlookers echoing 2,000 years later. It would probably have been the first time a non-leper had touched this man in years. Then Jesus said the words that were the answer to the man's prolonged prayer. "Be made clean." After the leprosy miraculously left him, Jesus gave him instructions to go see the priest and go through the rites of the Mosaic law for testimony of the cure of leprosy so that he, so long an outcast, could return to the human community. This is the Jesus priests are called to imitate. This is the Jesus Christians are called to imitate. The Lord turns to each of us today and says, "Come, follow me." We're not called necessarily to imitate Jesus in caring for those with Hansen's disease, because thanks be to God and to the gift of modern medicine, leprosy has been eradicated in the U.S. and in most of the world. Most of us, as far as I know, are not gifted with the Lord's divine power to work stupendous miracles of physical healing. So we're not called to emulate Jesus the thaumaturgus. But what Christ is calling us to do is to love the outcasts with the same love that he does, the love that would make him go to the cross again for them if he needed to. And to do this, we need courage. There are many modern Vinicio Rivas out there, whom we met earlier this week, the man with the neurofibromatotic tumors, whom Pope Francis drew near to at St. Peter's Square and embraced. We need courage. This is the courage that St. John describes in the first reading today, that flows from believing that Jesus is the Son of God, the faith that makes us, through, with, and in Jesus, a victor over the world, a champion over fear, a winner over the hardness of heart that can lead us to turn our back toward others rather than turn our heart toward them with Christ-like love. Christ wants us to love with a special predilection the many other types of lepers today, all those who are the modern outcasts, everyone whom Pope Francis says are on the existential peripheries, those who are still bodily lepers, those with AIDS, those whom the world considers ugly or unattractive, or those whose illnesses are too long-lasting that few want to care for them. He wants us to draw near the psychological lepers, those with mental illness or mental disabilities, about whom others make jokes, but for whom they make no time. The spiritual or moral lepers, the drug addicts, the prostitutes, the death row criminals, the pedophiles, the transvestites, those who have committed very public and embarrassing sins, and those who think that their sins can't be forgiven. The economic lepers, like the homeless and the very poor, who are shut off from society and the things most of the rest of society take for granted. The racial lepers, like the gypsies, or depending upon where one lives, those of a particular skin color, be it black or brown or yellow. And the emotional lepers, those who, because of their own psyche or others' actions, feel completely alone and abandoned. These are among the ones Jesus wants us to reach out and heal through our very human touch, to bring them back from the margins into communion with us and with Him. We see in the lives of the saints that very often their path to deep sanctity occurred when they cared for an outcast. St. Francis of Assisi was a carefree young man riding around on his horse, preparing to seek glory as a soldier in battle. He was leaving his hometown and galloping toward the plain of Assisi. He saw a leper on the path near the outskirts who came out from the leper colony behind bushes. Francis's horse jerked out of repugnance. Francis looked at the leper for what seemed like an eternity and, in response to a petition for help, dropped some alms into the man's hand from his horse seat and sped off. But soon the voice of the Lord started thundering in his conscience. He stopped the horse, turned around, sped back, dismounted, went to the man, and took his emaciated, cold, and inert hand in his own and placed within it a coin. Then he lifted that hand to his lips and kissed the lacerated flesh of the abject man, embracing him. A wave of emotion rushed over Francis as he was filled with the exhilaration that comes when we abandon all our fears and conventions and really love others as Christ loves us. As the leper withdrew his hand, Francis raised his head to look at him in the eyes. But the man miraculously was no longer there. Neither was the old Francis. Everything had changed. Likewise for us, the path to our sanctity begins with our loving those whom the world finds unlovable. As we learn from the example of the poverello, every time we care for an outcast, we are caring for Christ. The Lord Himself told us that everything we do or fail to do to one of the least of His brothers and sisters, we do or fail to do to Him. Christ takes on the disguise of the pariah, and the amount of love we show the castaway is the amount of love we have for Him. It's easy to love those who are lovable, Jesus told us in the Sermon on the Mount. Even pagans do as much. But it's hard to love those who are unlovable, or seem to be it by the standards of the world. Yet that's the standard Jesus gives us. Like a leper, He himself became full of disgusting, open bodily wounds. He himself was cast out of the city and left abandoned with other outcasts on crosses. As Isaiah wrote about him 700 years earlier, he had no form or majesty that we should look on him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by others, a man of suffering and acquainted with infirmity. And as one from whom others hide their faces, he was despised and held him in no account. Surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases. Yet we accounted him stricken, struck down by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole. And by his bruises we are healed. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. When he says, "Be made clean," he's saying so through his wounds. If we will draw near to Christ, he waits for us on a modern Calvary in the disguise of contemporary outcasts. To possess Christ, as St. John says at the end of today's epistle, we must possess him in the disguise of those who come to us in need. Or even more, in those who can't even come to us in need, that the Lord sends us to go out and find. If we, the apostle promises, will have life, it's because whoever possesses the Son has life, and we possess that Son in others, and the life we receive from him is eternal. As we come to the end of this retreat on courage in the Christian priestly life, having examined many aspects of our life as disciples, apostles, and future apostles from the perspective of the holy parousia needed, we may recognize just how much courage we still lack. We know how much we need it. We know that courage doesn't mean we have no fears, but that we do what we ought to despite those fears. But we also know that far too often our fears win rather than faith and courage. If a leper or a priest pedophile were to come and sit next to us in the pew, many of us, despite today's gospel, would battle the temptation to move away rather than draw close with Christ-like love. We need to be humble enough to admit it. But what are we to do? In the face of the courage needed and the enduring fears we have, are we up for the courage needed? The Lord Jesus knows our hearts. He knows every single one of our fears. He knows all our weaknesses. And he also knows our longings. His first apostles were good men, but all of them had fears. And all of them caved into the fears, abandoning him in the garden. And 11 of the 12 were still fugitives as he was dying. But their failures led them to turn to him anew. And the power of the Holy Spirit coming down on Pentecost with his gift of courage emboldened them. For us, knowing our frailties, we need to approach Jesus like the leper in today's gospel and simply say to him with trusting faith, "Lord, if you will it, you can make me bold." And we know that Jesus will never give us a stone when we ask for bread or a poisonous eel when we ask for fish. He will say, we can be absolutely sure, "I do will it. Be made bold." And he will, in giving us that grace, give us plenty of opportunities to put that courage into action despite our fears. He wants to say to us at the end of this retreat, almost as an exclamation point, "Do not be afraid. Ego a me. Take courage. I have conquered the world. Each day when we come to Mass, we can say to Jesus, prostrate before Him, if You will it, You can make me bold. And He will come within us to embolden us from the inside. It's here that He strengthens us with His Word. It's here that we receive the triple witness of the fulfillment of the water of baptism, the blood of Calvary, and the Spirit of Pentecost, to make us audacious in our divine filiation, in His triumph over sin and death on Calvary, and in the courage that comes to us as fire from above. All three testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and the three are of one accord, as St. John tells us. In possessing the Eucharistic Lord, we have life and we have courage. And that's what makes us, with Him, victors over the world. Praise be Jesus Christ.